And now the opinion page. Every year at about this time, the Pew Global Attitudes Project releases a survey, and in recent years, it's not reported good news for the United States. In the Arab world and in Europe, the poll finds only small and dwindling numbers willing to express a positive view of the U.S. But you can't believe everything that foreigners tell pollsters, argues Fuad Ajami. In an op-ed in today's Wall Street Journal, he says that while American liberalism is heavily invested in this narrative of anti-Americanism, it's mostly just hype. Fuad Ajami teaches at the School of Advanced International Studies at Johns Hopkins University. He joins us on the phone from his home in New York, and nice to have you on the program again.
Thank you very much, Neil. Thank you for having me.
And in the Pew report, you mentioned in the op-ed, last year's results show a clear trend toward anti-Americanism. 26 of 33 countries registered less favorable views of the United States than in years past. Is that hype?
Well, we can't deny the existence of anti-Americanism in large swaths of the Arab world, of the Muslim world. But I think we have to be realistic about what these numbers mean. What does it mean that 20% of people in Cairo tell pollsters they're anti-American when there are lines and lines of people pining to come to America? So I've always been skeptical of these Pew surveys. And in this piece that you cite, I use the example of, you know, the celebrated letters of Montesquieu, the Persian letters, where Montesquieu used two Persian travelers, alleged Persian travelers, fictional characters, to say what he really wanted to say about Paris and about French life. And I've always felt that these Pew surveys are really, they're much more American letters than they are Pakistani letters or Egyptian letters. I discount what people say about the United States, because I grew up in the Arab world, and there was the obligatory anti-Americanism even among people lining up to come to the United States.
So if a pollster asks you if you live in Lebanon or Jordan or Indonesia, you're likely to tell him one thing. On the other hand, you may be applying for a visa to come and live in the United States.
Well, I think so, and I also think this idea that anti-Americanism is a function of the Iraq War is false. That anti-Americanism is a function of the presidency of George W. Bush is false. Yes, President Bush himself said he could have been more diplomatic, that he violated protocol, that he could have used a different language. A while ago, he apologized for saying such things as wanted dead or alive about Osama bin Laden, mission accomplished about the Iraq War. But this anti-Americanism waxes and wanes. French thought, and I've studied the phenomenon of French letters a long time, the French were anti-Americans during the fabled years of Bill Clinton. What did they accuse us of during the Bill Clinton years? Globalization. We were buying off their companies. We were bringing the dreaded discipline of Anglo-Saxon economics to their country. McDonald was destroying French cuisine, etc., etc. So, you know, if you take a look at French life and French thought, that anti-Americanism is a steady theme in French letters. It really has nothing to do with George Bush.
Well, certainly under President Chirac, France was vehemently opposed to the war in Iraq.
You're exactly right. But also, if you go back to President Mitterrand, and if you go back to a celebrated French foreign minister, Hubert Védrine, who coined the term hyperpower, mm-hmm. the French were always skeptical of the United States. I think it's a French mark to both view the United States with envy and condescension at the same time. They envy the wealth of America, but there is this cultural condescension. And I think that I would contend that French thought was much more anti-American during the Clinton years than today. Take a look at Sarkozy. I mean, he's, you know, the people's exhibit number one. He just welcomed President Bush. He hailed President Bush. He showed up in the U.S. in November before a joint session of Congress and spoke in poetic terms about the American soldiers who fell on French soil in the Second World War. So I think we should be careful. We should not accept these representations that there is anti-Americanism the world over. Russia is not anti-American in that way. The center-right governments in Europe are not anti-American. Sarkozy is not anti-American. The Italians under Berlusconi are not anti-American. Germany under Merkel is not anti-American.
We're talking with Fuad Ajami on the opinion page. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you agree with him or disagree, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also weigh in on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And you were just speaking about a number of center-right political leaders in Europe. Nevertheless, public opinion does play a role. If the United States wants to play the leading role as, well, it's certainly the predominant military and economic power in the world still, yet public support is helpful if it wants to persuade other countries to do as the United States would like it to do, as opposed to trying to force other countries to do.
Well, there's no doubt. You're right. You're quite right, Neil. But I take it as it comes with the territory. It's the fate. I mean, perhaps it's my Arab rearing. I believe in such things as fate, things destined. It's the fate of a great power that organizes the world to be admired and resented. It's the fate of such a power that other people in distant lands look up to it and at the same time feign a certain kind of resentment of it. I believe it's always like this is the fate of this great power. We bulk large in the world. And take a look at our destiny, if you will. If we don't buy enough of the world's good during economic slumps, people are alienated, and they've so told the Pew surveys. But if we consume too much of the world, people are alienated. So damned if you do and damned if you don't. There is this kind of ambivalence about great powers. There is ambivalence about a power that dominates the world militarily, economically, psychologically. Psychologically, that's what people think about. They think about our films, our culture, about our universities. And look, I mean, people say, you know, whatever people in India say, they're flocking to our universities. And when they come here, I mean, I speak as someone who came here and never went back home to Lebanon. They stay here. The cream of China's youth are coming our way to MIT and so on. So I don't jump out of my seat when I read these surveys. And when someone tells me that 12% of Turks, only 12% of Turks like America, I'm not troubled. This tells me not so much about the United States. It tells me something about the temper of Turkey itself, and that there is a division in the Turkish soul between the Islamists and the old Kemalists of the old elites.
The secularists, yes. Let's see if we can get a caller on the line. And this is Sean, and Sean's calling us from St. Louis.
Hi, am I on?
Yes, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I think it's the phrase envy and condescension that your guest used is perfect, spot on. Like, personally, I'm from Pakistan originally. I live in Missouri now, obviously. But I have plenty of cousins, uncles, aunts who I can see there's a sort of a condescension in their voice when they talk to me about international issues. They treat me as if, you know, I'm some blind American. I don't know anything. I don't know what's going on in the world. And, like, personally, I write a blog, for example, and my cousins came and commented on how stupid I am, about how stupid everything I say is. But at the same time, they really want to come to America. There's nothing they would want more than to come to school here and live here. And, I mean, I think it's perfect that there's a sort of an envy that they know that they'd rather be here than be there. But they think that we have this sort of Americocentrism that I was writing about specifically, that we think everything is great here and it's not as great everywhere else.
Well, is some of their opinion, do you think, shaped, Sean, by the United States support for the president of Pakistan, who many people there regard as a dictator?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you very well.
Do you think your cousin's views are shaped by the fact that the United States has supported the president of Pakistan, who many there regard as a dictator?
Yeah, I think that's interesting because a lot of people there call him a dictator, and a lot of people there think of him as the savior of Pakistan. He's very controversial, and I think people one thing my cousins, for example, hate, and this is something that I had mentioned on my blog too, and they hate it, is that the fact that people oversimplify the political issues there. People say, you know, it's not as straightforward as he's supported by the U.S. or he's a dictator. And this is, you can write an entire book or an entire encyclopedia on this.
I think people have. And Fuad, I think you may have.
Well, I think Sean has it absolutely right. I mean, there is a love-hate phenomenon with the United States, and I don't think these surveys capture that. There is a tremendous kind of one-dimensionality in these surveys. We need to know what people are saying. Sean says the right thing about Pakistan, this kind of ambivalence. In my piece, I use Egypt. Egypt is a place where, in a way, America, or Amrika, as the Egyptians call it, you know, it's a subject of their dreams and the subjects of their resentments. They have Mubarak as a despot. I call him a pharaoh. They have Hosni Mubarak as a despot. They can't remove him. They can't say anything about him. So what do? They do the next best thing. They rail against the United States So Neil, you're right. I mean, our identification with these dictators does in many ways put us on the opposite side of the divide in many, many countries. But on balance, we try to stand for the right things. On balance, we try to bring a measure of liberty to Lebanon. It's only American power that drove the Syrians out of Lebanon. It's only American power that overthrew the tyranny of Saddam Hussein. And when you look at even survey after survey from Iran of all places, revealed tremendous amount of pro-Americanism in Iranian opinion.
Thanks very much for the call, Sean.
Thank you.
We're talking with Fuad Ajami, who teaches at the School of Advanced International Studies at Johns Hopkins University, author of the book The Foreigner's Gift. And if you'd like to take a look at his op-ed, there's a link to it on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Jason. Jason calling us from Oakland, California.
Hi. Thanks for letting me on.
Sure. Go ahead, please.
I'm afraid that your guest and that last caller are both using the same cliche of false logic when they confuse people migrating here for people actually respecting what our government does. You know, it's commonly known that our government has admitted to undermining foreign democracies and other industries and entire economies. And so those people find themselves in desperate situations in countries run by dictators that were propped up by us, and they have to come here. They leave their families at home because that's where their home is, but they have to come here so they can send some money back home. And so just because people are desperately coming here for jobs doesn't mean that they respect the ethics of our government. And you know, they see Dallas on TV and think that we're all millionaires here. That, and we shouldn't confuse that kind of desperate envy with respect and admiration.
Fuad Ajami?
Well, I don't disagree with a lot of what our caller said, but I do insist on a measure of at least logic and a measure of honesty. That if people say they hate America, then they should also in some way exhibit that in their behavior.
Well, certainly. I personally despise what our current administration does, but I don't move away because this is my home and this is where my family is, and I'm hoping for reform. But I desperately hate what we do to many of the millions of innocent people around the country. But I cannot leave my home just that easily. And as for your trends for people coming to our schools and stuff, those numbers are dropping off dramatically as we have quit supporting our schools as much. And you now have the real good engineers going to other universities all over the world like never before. And our share of those, that sort of brain attraction is dropping every year, too. I noticed you forgot to mention that part.
Well, I mean, I do this for a living, so if you allow me to just disagree with this, I know some of the numbers. For example, even take the Saudis, who used to send their kids to the United States, and we formed a whole generation of Saudis. And then after 9/11, the numbers of Saudi students dried up, and now, lo and behold, they're back again to 25,000. I mean, we have, when people go to other lands, it's fine. Other centers of learning are rising in the world, and we should bless this. But we should not underestimate the cultural and economic influence of this country and the fact that some of this anti-Americanism, and this is the theme of my piece in the Wall Street Journal, which, Jason, I hope you will have a chance to see, it's almost like we are writing these things through people in Karachi and Cairo and Istanbul. I am not troubled when the Turks say they don't like America. If the Turks don't like America because we went to Iraq and liberated the Kurds and gave them liberty in Iraq, well, that's the problem for the Turks, that they are themselves are intolerant of minorities. So I think we should be able to somehow look at this anti-Americanism in a very cold-blooded way. What does it mean? What do people carry in it? What do people mean when they say that they have that they oppose the United States on this or that question? I think it's usually more complicated than the pollsters with their clipboards would have us believe.
Jason, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Let's get one last caller in. This will be Mo, and Mo's with us from Tucson, Arizona.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I'm from Pakistan, and first of all, I'm always confused as what is anti-Americanism? I mean, what we see as anti-Americanism, what are those things that we put them together as a package and say, this person is anti-Americanism because, is this because we don't agree with the foreign policy? If we don't, would that make me an anti-American? Well, in Pakistan, definitely, like we were talking about a caller before, the last caller who said that some people see Pervez Musharraf as a savior of Pakistan. Now, I don't know the number of that people, but yes, when he came in power, everybody supported him, and then towards the end, now people think is 1% or less. So anti-Americanism is a very complicated, sophisticated term that we can use for these kind of things. I mean, I would really like to know from the author of this book that what he considered anti-Americanism.
Well, Mo has, I mean, I think he's said a lot, and I think much of it is valid. And when we talk about anti-Americanism, I'm just using it in the limited fashion that this Pew Global Attitudes Survey uses the term, that we go abroad, we have thousands of people as in a sample. We ask them if they have favorable views of the United States, if the United States is viewed favorably for them, if the United States has a favorable impact on their economy, etc. I mean, the Pew Survey is a very established art form. They've been doing it for a number of years, and they always bring us this news from foreign countries that we find that Africa is much more sympathetic to the United States than the lands of Islam. Well, the lands of Islam are troubled lands. And your own native Pakistan, in Pakistan, the problem there is that the military has ruled that country for 32 out of its 60-year existence. Now, these problems in Pakistan, the problems of governance, the problem of democracy versus authoritarianism, they really have nothing to do with the United States. I mean, this is...
And, Mo, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time, but thank you very much for the call.
Thanks for taking my call.
And Fuad Ajami, thank you very much
for
your time.
Thank you very much for checking in. Thank you.
Fuad Ajami's recent book is The Foreigner's Gift.